Hey, can you guys hear me in the back? Thank you so much for coming out tonight. We're going to go ahead and get started. My name is Summer Robertson. I work for the Congressman. The Congressman's going to have a few short remarks, and then our real purpose for being here today is to listen to each of you. When we get to the public comment portion of the meeting, we would ask that you keep your comments to 2 minutes so that we can allow everyone here who's asked to speak the opportunity to speak. And we'd like to get through it, so if you can please be respectful of each of the speakers, we would appreciate that as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much for being here this evening. I'm Congressman Gus Bilirakis. Please call me Gus. And this is the third town hall that we've had in the last, roughly in the last 3 weeks. We had a town hall the other night, but Diane said she couldn't get through, so that's why we're having this, not just for Diane, but for everybody. She tried, and it's hard, and I apologize. We try to get to as many people as we can on the teletown hall, but we're having this tonight, and I promised one in the east side of the county, and this is pretty far east.
It's going to be on health care, okay? And I want to hear from as many people as I can. This is an issue, a very personal issue, okay? And it affects people directly. So before we vote, and again, there is a bill that hopefully will be rolled out next week, okay? I haven't seen the bill yet. I've heard about certain provisions, and I want to tell you, because there are a lot of folks that are concerned about these particular issues. And I want to tell you that with regard to the pre-existing conditions, people will be covered under this health care bill. I've been assured of that, okay? And again, I ask over and over and over again. They listen to me. I'm on the health care subcommittee under Energy and Commerce, and I know this is a priority for my constituents, all right? So pre-existing conditions will be covered. You will not lose your health care due to a pre-existing condition. 26-year-olds, that's another issue people ask me all the time. Will I have the opportunity to keep my child or adult child up to the age of 26 on my policy with this replacement plan? Because I think we need to have a repeal, but I also think it must be replaced. And people have told me that, if you're going to repeal, you have to replace. And again, this is my third town hall meeting, four if you count the teletown hall. Okay, no lifetime caps. We want to make sure there are no lifetime caps. I'm just going over a few provisions, and then I'm going to listen, because this is a listening session, okay, and I want to hear from you. The other thing that I've heard from our seniors is we want to continue to close that donut hole. Do you know what I'm talking about? Under Medicare Part D, I believe the year 2020, it's going to be phased out, meaning that the donut hole will be closed, so you don't have to pay the out-of-pocket expense, what have you. I don't have all the details in front of me. But that's very important, because prescription drug costs are very expensive for everyone, okay? But our seniors are on limited incomes, okay? So we've got to make sure we protect our seniors. Now, I have a bill that we believe will probably be heard and voted on in March with regard to prescription drugs, okay? We want to reduce prescription drugs. We want to get rid of these terrible monopolies that are charging thousands and thousands of dollars to people who have really diseases, okay, life-threatening diseases, chronic illnesses, and they need their medication. They cannot afford their medication. I have a bill, a bipartisan bill, okay, with Kurt Schrader from Oregon. I've been told by my leadership that this bill will be heard in March. It's going to go through regular order, because that's what we want. We'll have a hearing, and then we'll have a markup in Energy and Commerce in the committee, possibly to amend the bill, and then hopefully it'll be on the floor of the House of Representatives. And we do have a Senate sponsor, okay? And this will create competition when there is no competition with regard to generic drugs. The EpiPen situation. And I can go on and on. The HIV drug, which is so very expensive. There's no competition in the market. We want to speed up the FDA process in these cases. When there's a monopoly out there, to get another drug on the market to be competitive so that the prices can go down. It's not going to solve everything, folks, but it's a good start. And again, I want to hear from you. The best ideas come from the people. I want to thank you so very much for being here this evening. And we'll get started, okay? Thank you.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to start by calling five people at a time. When I call your name, if you'll come to the middle, Mike will have the microphone here, and he will allow you to speak. And then I'll call, after the fourth person, I'll call another round of five. So our first five speakers, Pam McAloon, Joel Gingery, Bonnie Axler, Kim Irvine, and the Reverend Mary Ann Dorner.
Do I speak here?
Yes, okay.
Yes, I'm Pam McAloon. Healthcare is very dear to my heart. I'm a retired nurse, spent many years in critical care, all the way up to oncology care, both clinically and in research. Thank you. I didn't expect that. Thank you very much. Right now, I am working as a volunteer in one of the free clinics in Pinellas County. We have had patients, two in particular, who have said to me, I like your health care, Pam. I think this is a great clinic, but I would like to have my own private insurance, and I am trying to buy it. What they have found is that the very insurance, and this is in their own words, that were supposed to help them, is far too costly. The premiums are too high, and their deductibles are really way up there, and they fall in between the cracks. That is the problem that I'm seeing within the free clinic. I'd like to see this problem solved. I'd like to see more competition being allowed between insurers. Does anybody agree with that? Competition is healthy? Okay, good. Am I not speaking loudly enough sometimes? I do have a soft voice. Okay. Oh, okay.
If you please would allow
let's
the
repair,
to speak.
Let's repair it, okay? Let's repair it. And every place with something better. Do we all agree with that? Okay. But I want to give you a couple of talking points, and that is Humana. Anybody have Humana insurance? Okay, they alone lost over $1 billion for participating in Obamacare. It's my understanding, I've researched this, that they are going to be going away. I know my own insurance company, Aetna. Aetna has gone out of the business. They're gone. They're no longer around. Well, with competition, I certainly hope so. But anyway, that's all I want to say.
Please.
Repair, replace. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please keep your remarks for 2 minutes. I'll let you know when you're wrapping up.
Go ahead.
Hello. Good evening. And thank you, Representative Bill Rackus, for providing this opportunity to share with you our concerns about your proposals to slash Obamacare, make it Trump care, and we'd like to relay our support for expanding Obamacare to cover all Americans. That is to make it Americare. My name is Dr. Gingery. I'm a retired clinical pharmacist, and I live at a plus 55 retirement community over on the other side of the county. It's called Key Vista, and we have about 300 seniors there, or people over 55. And most of them probably voted for you and President Trump, and they're mostly covered by Medicare. And I'm sure you're aware, Representative Bill Rackus, that Obamacare supports older adults and the way we are proposing could threaten the provisions that help them stay secure. For instance, by encouraging healthcare insurance companies and providers and hospitals to work together on value care, Medicare has been able to save over $700 billion. And that's just with 25% of the Medicare market participating. There are plans to roll this out to the entire Medicare market. And then because Medicare kind of controls the healthcare industry, it will be rolled out to the entire. Okay. Well, what we'd like to suggest is that the plans that you, the Republicans, have for block grants and for the plans for Medicare, which are, I forget what they are, but they're much less effective than you already have the savings from these particular programs. There's you'd be losing these savings, and you losing care, people would be sicker, and it costs more money.
Thank you for your comments.
So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bonnie Axler. I live in Land O'Lakes. This is the first time I'm ever talking.
Yeah, but you're doing great.
I hope so. Excuse me. I beg you to keep something, either the ACA or something like that with pre-existing conditions. I will lose my husband if you don't keep something. The man has cancer, they can't operate on him because he has had a massive heart attacks, and I'm sorry to get upset. He's had massive heart attacks, and he's taking blood thinners, and you can't have surgery when you have blood thinners. So he's had cancer now for 2 years that they haven't been able to operate on him yet. And again, he has the heart problems, and now he has a growth on his leg. Again, they can't operate, and we're seeing yet another specialist. If you take the ACA away and his pre-existing away, I'm going to lose my husband, and I can't lose my husband. Yes, he has it. We are paying a very high amount for the health insurance, but we thank every month when I call in that credit card to get keep his insurance, I thank God he's alive. And I'm on Medicare, and yes, I'm grateful for being on Medicare, but I'm in such debt, you have no idea. All of my credit cards are maxed out from the drugs and the co-pays. We need to do something about those drugs. I'm telling you, I have a dozen credit cards and they're close to being maxed out. Once they're maxed out, I won't be able to go to the doctors anymore. And I have a few pre-existing conditions of my own. You just
Thank
heard me
you
cough.
For sharing your thoughts.
So, I'm sorry. I just pray that you will get something to help the middle class people. Thank you.
Thank you. And then please contact our office too, if we can help with your personal situation, okay? You know, with regard to the health care. We have staffers here. Summer is our deputy chief of staff. Mike is our district director. Liz is here somewhere. Dan is here. Please contact our office, folks. If you need anything, you can walk up to someone tonight, one of our staffers tonight. Raise your hands, all of my staff, please. Okay, there's some in the lobby, too. So if I can't answer your question tonight, and it's a particular case where you need help with regard to the federal government, see our staffers because we want to be there for you. Thank you.
Pardon? Okay. My name is Kim Irvin. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. Thank you. And I want you to know, I am a neonatal nurse practitioner with over 35 years experience. My experience is pretty much all hospital, so I know the hospital, I know medical care for a long time. And I have a few points that I want to make, and then I want to do some personal opinions. 70% of U.S. counties in the U.S. have no choice of the insurance providers. As the insurance companies, and I work for one now, I work for Amerigroup, a division of Anthem. They're dropping out because they're losing money, and this will cause a potential death spiral in the marketplace if it hasn't already started doing it now. 70% of the co-ops have failed, and the cost to that, according to Heritage, is $1.98 billion to taxpayers. And the last fact I wanted to bring out and then speak is 50% fewer Americans are enrolled now than projected. It's not working. The people that they were hoping to get in to fund it are not. and because they can't afford it. I know several friends that need insurance, and they can't afford Obamacare. It is not the Affordable Care Act, period. I am for repealing and replacing. I think it's critical that we do that at this point before any more damage is done. I hope that the Republicans will agree quickly on a plan. I do agree with existing preconditions being covered. I'm a little bit iffy on keeping kids on until they're 26 because I think we're coddling a lot of our youth, and they need to grow up and get a real job. If they're in college, I understand it, but we need to take responsibility in our lives, and we're not really helping them at that point. That's really all what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.
I want you to repeal it quickly.
Thank you.
Portability, competition. Competition is what brings the cost down. We need to be able to shop for insurance among various states.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to have the opportunity to talk to Gus about it. But yes, I think that the ideas that were presented when Obamacare was being debated to begin with were good ones, and they were ignored by the Democrats.
And before our next speaker speaks,
and I know
I'm going to call some more names,
okay?
Thank you. Chelsea Bunch, Roger Whitten, Pat Riley, Tony Masella, John Keller, and Luis Burks. Go ahead, sorry.
I want to thank you so much. I just want to say I watch TV, and bar none, you have been the best representative on television. Speaking to your people, listening to them, any point of view. And I'm proud to tell all my friends that I have a great U.S. representative. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with you on
understand.
Everything.
I understand.
My name is Mary Ann Dorner, and I'm an Episcopal priest.
I got to say this. I don't agree with my wife 50%, but I want to stay married. So we're never going to agree on everything.
And I've been a priest for 25 years. My husband and I attended our first town hall meeting in Newport Richey. I did not speak, and I wasn't going to come tonight, but my son is here from Georgia, came down for spring training, and I said, well, I'm going to miss his town hall meeting, and he said, no, Mom, you need to go. Make your voice heard. So I'm proud of my son. We're going to root for the Phillies.
Tomorrow.
And I have many parishioners, friends, neighbors, and family members, and I just want to tell you that I have never seen people so afraid. And people are getting sick because they're afraid. And so as soon as something can be resolved, obviously from my sign, I say, do not repeal without replacing it. Improved replacements immediately. No gap. People are afraid that they won't be able to afford their medications, have surgeries. What's going to happen to me? You know, how many months am I going to have to live? I mean, this is real fear. This is not fake fear. This is real fear. And so I'm on Medicare and Social Security. Please don't cut those, or my son will have to take care of me in the future. My daughter and my sister, who have not been able to afford health insurance on their own, now have health insurance through the exchanges on the Affordable Care Act. And even though they're expensive, they're cheaper than anything they could have gotten beforehand.
You could wrap up your comments.
And so we just want to, I just want to say that it could be more affordable, but it has started to work, and I would hate to see it repealed without replacing it. And so, again, I just want to thank you so much that when I see other representatives running from fear from their constituents, you can stand here and be with us, and I really appreciate that.
My pleasure. It's my job. Thank you.
Please try to keep your comments in 2 minutes.
Yes, okay, I'll be less than 2 minutes. First place, thanks for being here and thanks for listening. Second thing is, I think that if America works together, what we can do is unbelievable. So please be a little bit compassionate towards the people of South America and even people of other faiths that you might not have that faith, but you can be respectful to. And talk up to the president.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Please keep how you're doing. Good. Thank you.
Gus, I'm from Pinellas County, and I just wanted to thank you for everything you've done, you know, for our district, you know, especially for the veterans. You know, you've done a lot of great things, you know, over the years. My big concern here as far as Obamacare is, you know, that things aren't working. A lot of things are broke, as you know, and people in this room know. So I think it's the right thing to do to repeal and replace, you know, so... So when we repeal and replace it, okay, you know, I saw what you did, you know, by co-sponsoring, you know, the bill, you know, that's going to keep people, you know, have pre-existing concerns. So that's an indication that you're listening to the people. So that was really good. You know, this was a change election. So, you know, we stand behind you and the administration to repeal and replace 69.4 people. 69.4 people voted for you in office, and we have your back, Gus, so, you know, we support you, okay, and thank you.
Folks, just please be respectful of the people who are speaking up here. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Chelsea Bunch. I'm with Action Together Tampa Bay, and I was at your last town hall. First off, just in response to that last man, I would like to point out that nationwide, 61% of constituents say that they do not want Obamacare, the ACA, to be repealed. They would like it to be replaced. I think you can tell from that crowd that the majority of us are for that. Second, national news coverage was really predominantly on those death panels last time. You said, yes, they were the IPAB board. The man who was responsible for that, Mr. Aiken, was forced to step down from the GOP. I would just really like to hear you say publicly that there is no such thing as death panels in the ACA.
There is no such thing as death panels in the ACA.
That was easy. I've got two questions for you. I think they're going to be easy. It's good to see you, Gus. You became my representative because of redistricting, because of the population growth. It wasn't that long ago. One of the things that I've learned about you is that you offer legislation or you vote on legislation based upon what you think is best for your constituents, for the people of the 12th District, for the state of Florida also, and for the country, regardless of political ramifications. I've seen you do that. You've done some things that I didn't care for, and you were willing to talk to me about it, and I appreciate that. By the way, Wesley Chapel, I'm from Wesley Chapel. It's the fastest growing area in Pasco County, probably in the state. I'm not sure if I'm right. So it would be nice, and that's one of my questions, is if you're going to be spending a little bit more time over here, because I swear to God, Newport Richey is a long drive. Okay. But leading up to my question, okay, and I'll try to speed this up. In 2010, you signed a pledge to repeal Obamacare. You campaigned on repealing Obamacare. Your vote total for that election was over 71%. Your constituents that voted for you because you made a pledge and you campaigned. It was the biggest issue in 2010 on repealing Obamacare. In 2016, Obamacare became another issue because we had an election and bills to repeal Obamacare were vetoed, or they couldn't get through the Senate. Okay? I'm guessing you're one of the members of the House that voted to repeal Obamacare 50 times and were constantly being ridiculed for doing something that... Okay.
You could speak so, up your comments, wrap up your thoughts, please.
In 2016, you got the second highest level of victory in the election. It was over 69%, close to 70%. So my question is to you, and you campaigned on repealing Obamacare, are you going to keep your campaign promises to repeal Obamacare?
I will vote to repeal Obamacare, but we are here, folks, we are here to hear from our constituents, okay? We are here to on the replacement and what your priorities are with a replacement. By the way, we will have a transition period. I mean, again, I've had meetings with our other healthcare members and our chairman of the particular committee, so no one will be cut off. Well, you want a three-year, I'm sorry, and I have a hard time hearing, too. So it's that. Can you hear me now? There will be a three-year transition period, okay, so that no one will be cut off of their particular policy. So that I've heard from you on that as well, and I've gotten assurances. I'm arguing for 3 years. Some people are saying 2 years. But, this has been very productive. And I want to continue, and I also want to thank you for being respectful. I mean, I know there's some boos and some yays, but when the person speaks, yeah, you know, you're listening, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Ma'am, next speaker is up. Please sit down. Thank you. Go ahead, it's okay, Congressman, right here.
Here we go. Hi, Gus. I'm Penny Burks. I'm one of your constituents from Bayonet Point. I'm a registered independent voter. I have voted for you in the past. I'm a retired school counselor and a grandmother. I am not a paid activist. And I want to commend you, Gus, for doing what you are supposed to do by holding town meetings and not heading for the hills, as some representatives are doing. And I want you to know that I'm one of the 79% of Americans who wants the Congress to compromise on life or death issues such as health care, gun safety, and environmental protection. And I will be checking voting records of my representatives and casting my votes for candidates who have a record of reaching across the aisle. But I also want you to know what really keeps me awake at night. And those are the worrisome attacks on our judiciary, our intelligence community, and our free press. Yes. Statements such as the so-called judge. Are we living in Nazi Germany? And the enemy of the American people, to name but a few of those statements. And I want to know if these statements from the most powerful person in the world keep you awake at night, Gus. And what specifically have you done above and beyond your role as a politician? In other words, your role as a representative of the American people and our precious democracy to call out President Trump on these un-American statements that are undermining our democracy?
Thank you for your comments. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to get through as many people as possible. Please, we'd like to get through as many people as possible. We'd like to give everyone the opportunity to speak. So please.
I have a reputation of calling them as I see them.
Okay, we're going to call them. Next.
All right.
Excuse me,
thank
sir,
you. My name is...
Give me 1 second. Let me call five more names. Sandy Graves, Sula Demetriadis, Bonnie Dickinson, Pat... Excuse me, sir. Please sit down. You do not have the microphone. Please sit down. Pat Barton, Sharon Grossenbacken. Go ahead, sir.
All right. My name is Tony Masella. I own ourtownfla.com, community website. I'm usually on the other side. I'm very proud of our Pasco Democrats. They're great people, and the Republicans, and this is really impressive because the media's here and see how everybody allowed to give their opinions. And mine is not quite an opinion because I actually signed up for Obamacare. I got laid off in 2004, started my own business, and went without health care because I couldn't afford it. I remember talking to Romney about it. When I signed up for Obamacare, I got Humana Bronze 6300 Tampa Bay HUM. The deductible right here, $6,300. Anybody can take a look at it. That means I got to rack up bills of $6,300 before I can use this. This is my income tax form. It shows that I paid $496.15 in March. April, I paid $496.15, and then I stopped because I needed to see my doctor, and I couldn't afford to spend $500 for this health care that I would have to rack. I'd have to get my liver replaced to be able to start using it. That's not the end of the story. Okay, the end of the story is that I get a bill from the federal government for $772. Okay, and what they say here is called for shared responsibility payment owed. I don't think anybody wants to help me share this, because I got to pay this bill for not having health care. I know the Democrats brought up some great ideas about the care that you need with people that are rack up millions of dollars for their care and the lifetime caps and all the other things that I was very glad to hear about it, because this is my health care, my son and everybody else's, and I hope that you're successful, and I know that these people do too.
Okay. You could please wrap up your thoughts.
Okay. And so just to wrap it up, I guess I hope that, you know, we can solve this problem, because we can't go another 4 years, let alone 8 years, just trying to battle it, and hopefully we can work together and get competition. I know it sounds like a bad word to some people, but that's how, but if you look for LASIK surgery, the price of LASIK surgery has gone down, because there's competition, and these consumers have power in their purchasing. Thank you very much.
Okay. Gus, I just want to thank you, because I call you a brave man. This is your third town hall, and when others aren't having one, you're having three. So thank you very much. And I've known you a long time, and you're accessible, and you're there to listen no matter which side of the fence you sit on, so I thank you for that. We can all probably agree on what's good with Obamacare, our Affordable Care Act, the 26-year-old, the pre-existing conditions, so those sort of things. But I think you've heard tonight what's wrong with Obamacare. And regardless of whether you repeal and replace or whether you repair, if you don't see what's wrong with it in this country, then you're listening to fake news or something. We know that the deductibles are large. We know that the premiums have gone up. We know there's no competition. In Pasco County, there is only one provider, and that's Florida Blue. And no, it is true, because I just talked to him the other day, and it's just one provider. And I didn't know that it's not statewide, it's by county. And so I would like that sort of thing to change, because if you can't even have competition in the state, you can't even have competition in the county, I hope you do something with that and all the other things. Because You know, we need Affordable Care Act. I mean, we need affordable health insurance, I guess, but this is not affordable. And it not only worries me about not being affordable personally, it worries me about being affordable for this country, because we're $20 trillion in debt, and I think we need to pay close attention to that. So, thank you.
Folks, again, we're having this town hall, and I will tell you this, and I know we're going to get some boos here, but that's okay. When the Affordable Care Act was passed, there were no town hall meetings prior to the legislation being passed, okay? We didn't have our party, my party, did not have any, virtually any input in Obamacare, okay, in the Affordable Care Act, all right? And folks, that's why we're having these town meetings, to see what your priorities are in the replacement. And then one other thing I want to answer, if I've ever disagreed with President Trump or, you know, on these positions that you particularly said, on the radio today, I disagreed with him on a particular provision. So I'm going to speak my mind. I represent you. So thank you.
Go ahead. If you could please allow the person who's here, please be respectful.
I'd like my 2 minutes.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't do well in front of a crowd. This is scarier than everything else that's going on in the country. My name is Sula Dimitriadis. I live in Tarpon Springs. I have dual citizenship, three actually, Greek, Canadian, and U.S. I became a naturalized citizen in the year 2000. I've lived in Canada, I've lived in Germany, I've lived in other countries, but I've been here since 1992. This is where my home is. I don't want to be forced to go back to Canada, where the weather is really crappy, so that I can get, you know, health care that is affordable. We are the only country, non-third world country, that doesn't have decent health care for everyone. You know? Japan, 1938, Japan. And if you go through all the different countries that have a single-payer system, wow. You know, there are many of them from 1938, in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s, Canada, 1966. I was very young then, but I'm still old. You know, I'm still, you know, I remember. I remember when we transitioned to that. And it was a transition. It didn't happen overnight. Personally, I don't care if you call it repeal, replace, Obama, Bilirakis, healthcare. It doesn't matter what you call it, as long as it's something affordable for people. And before the Affordable Care Act, my son, who has a seizure condition, his medication was $700 a month. Okay, before the Affordable Care Act, this is a few years ago, because I've been self-employed for a number of years, I couldn't go to see a gynecologist. They wouldn't even take me as self-pay. You don't have insurance? I'm sorry, we can't take you. And this is a true story. I'm not making it up. You know? So anyway, that's my story.
Thank
that's all I have to
thoughts.
Say. Please do something.
Thank you.
Okay. My name is Pat Barton. I appreciate so much they're in East Pasco. We live here, so we love it, and we really appreciate you being here. Okay. I have been in contact with your office 3 times, and I also called your Washington office, because I'm trying to get across to people that I listened to the video for the new act that you are doing bipartisan, y'all are doing bipartisan. I listened to over an hour video of it. It does express that we have no pre-existing conditions. Yet, I have a pre-existing condition. I developed it about 7 years ago. I retired from teaching nearly 10 years ago. Thought I was in the prime of my life, was excited to have, and I developed a condition. I went to my insurance company, because I have a friend that has supplemental insurance. So I told the insurance company I wanted a supplemental plan. I cannot qualify for a supplemental plan because I have pre-existing conditions. I called two of the biggest insurance companies there are because I wanted to be sure that I was hearing this right. What they do is they survey you at the beginning of your conversation. In fact, they won't even talk to you until you answer these survey questions. United had 10. Blue Cross had 8. Okay, well, that doesn't help me. You know, what I'm saying is they don't say they have pre-existing conditions. They ask you, have you been treated for this condition within the last year? To me, that's pre-existing condition, excuse me. I'm a school teacher. I know the difference. Okay. I lost the best doctor I've ever had because she gave up. Her patients couldn't afford their prescriptions. They went up to $700 a month. We people on a fixed income cannot afford that. I spent 32 years teaching children that this is the best country you could ever want to live in. I believe that from the bottom of my heart, and now it's telling me no. My son had to move in with me because I can't afford the surgeries that I need because it's such a high deductible. It's changed most of our lives. And the last thing I have is the prescription deal. They're so high that even with my insurance, I asked my doctor to get me a plan that had natural remedies. I didn't want to be hiked up on a drug. She worked with me. She really did. They wouldn't pay for anything. So it was out of my pocket. And I was trying to be a responsible citizen. So we do have situations out here that y'all keep saying we've got these rights, but it's not working. So I just want your help.
Thank you for sharing your comment.
And then I want you to contact my office to see if we can help you personally on this. Okay. Yes. Sign the paper, and we'll see what we can do. Yeah. Thank you very much. Again, under the healthcare savings accounts, we're going to require that they pay for you qualify for an over-the-counter prescription as well. And we should work on these alternative therapies as well, these alternative medicines as well, because they certainly work. So go ahead.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Dickinson from Pasco County. I wanted to thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate it, and the other town halls that you've been doing. I do have a couple of things that haven't been mentioned yet so far regarding the effects of Obamacare. Being a family member of business owners in the state of Florida, the costs of Obamacare has greatly affected their business, not only the individuals but the business itself. Employees had to work less hours because the business could not afford the costs added on to the business, which in turn the business had to lay off employees. Not only did they lay off employees, but then they ended up closing locations. So Floridians lost jobs. The business not only lost profits, they lost employees, and those employees lost their jobs.
Please be respectful of the speakers.
Being a family member of that business owner, it's not fake news. 6.5 million Americans have paid penalties, including people in Pasco County, for not being able to afford Obamacare and then having to pay the penalties for not having it. I am in favor of repealing and replacing Obamacare. I hope that you work quickly. I hope you have a plan to repeal this. I hope you have a plan to get government out of this business as well and let the competition of the healthcare providers and the insurance companies bring these costs down. That would naturally bring them down. Also, I'd like to add, with these town halls, being a employee of the Veterans Administration, I would love to see some town halls regarding our veterans and their care.
We'll continue to do those as well, and I have had them. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Before you get started, I'm going to call some more names. Carmen Sanchez, Ron Greiner, Brad Claggett, Debbie Shippey, and Maggie Dowling. Go ahead. Your turn.
For many times. My name is Sharon Grossenbacher. I live in Wesley Chapel. I've been a resident of Florida since 1972. I just want to say that I could go through a litany of what everybody else has said. That's really not my issue. One thing I do want to ask at the end, but what I'd like to say really is we're all American citizens. We are acting as if we're enemies. What I want you to do when you go back to Washington, think about what people said, get on your knees and ask God's help to make the right decision. We don't mind helping each other, but when we've gotten to the point where people are talking about they can't get this operation or that, how much money, I mean, if they took all of our money, we have to use our common sense. And I want you to go to your maker for your decisions. And I guess the other thing is, I'd like to know if any kind of health care that is for all of us, why is it not, why has it been exempted from Congress? If it's good enough for us, why isn't it good enough for you? And I don't mean that disrespectfully at all. I really don't. But we're just as deserving as you are. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and the answer to the last question, thank you very much. And I will. I pray, you know, I know it's personal, but yeah, on a regular basis. And I am on Obamacare myself. So, you know, if, yeah, well, I'm on Obamacare myself. And of course, yeah, Mike wanted to say the staff is also on Obamacare. Okay, thank you.
I'm Maggie Dowling, and it just drives me crazy. I'm a Democrat, Bernie Sanders even. And it's a Republican plan, Obamacare. It came out of the Heritage Foundation almost word by word. And it was the one that Mitt Romney had in Massachusetts. We didn't, because you can't help, no one should make money when someone is sick. Because if I don't get him a liver transplant, we get more profits. Yay! Yeah, and you can't, and he says, oh, we need more competition. When my little child is vomiting and high fever, I'm not shopping around for a cheapest anesthesiologist or for a doctor. You know, I want immediate care. It's not like LASIK surgery, you know, where I can shop around. Yeah, it is not a market for market competition, and it just breaks my, I come to these meetings and it just breaks my heart to hear these people. The number one bankruptcy cause in America is medical bills. And medical care is a right. And it is the government. The government should be providing Medicare for all. And you talk about, we got pre-existing condition. And then your speaker talks about vouchers. You can't have a pre-existing condition and a voucher, because a voucher for Medicare, a voucher for health care is not going to get you very far. And I saw your last plan. Well, your numbers don't add up. I don't know what bill you're talking about, the budget bill next week? Because Prince said you're not going to have a plan for a while. The president says you'll have one next month or something, and I don't know what bill. Are you talking about the budget bill?
Yeah, the budget, the reconciliation bill will be on the next week, won't be on the floor, but they're telling us that it will be filed next week, and we will hear it in committee. And part of the reconciliation bill will have a replacement plan in it as well. So, okay?
We're all just dying to see those numbers because they don't add up when you look at it. Because the plan you have now screws it to those that are employed, the higher income, and the last and the lower income are just knocked off. You know, so.
Thank you.
Please give it 2 minutes. I'll let you know when we get close. Thank you.
Hi, Gus.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to see
you. Good. Very well. Thank you.
You know, we could have a wimpy congressman in South Carolina,
But then we'd have, in South Carolina, there's one carrier, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Okay. Well, we could have a congressman that's, you know, in the rest of Florida. But then they wouldn't be on the health subcommittee, would they? So we got a really powerful congressman here when it comes to health care reform. So we're very lucky, and Gus, I'm with you 100%. You just might be a little too nice. So, last week I heard you say Obamacare tax credits, and everyone cheered. And then you said Republican tax credits, and everyone booed. So I think what we should all do is think, you know, what can we do to make things better? I'm gonna give you an idea of what I think is a problem with Obamacare. Here at Pasco Schools, here's the rate sheet. $1,213 a month for a teacher to add her spouse and child onto the Blue Cross Blue Shield Health Insurance, PPO. $1,213 a month. A teacher. Now, if she can't afford it, which maybe she can't, you know, think about it. She's uninsured. She goes to the exchange, right? The Obamacare exchange. The first question is your employer trying to sell you insurance? She says yes. Well, then you're automatically disqualified for tax credits. So we're going to try and fix it with Republican tax credits that are not based on income, but are based on age.
Okay, thank you for sharing your thoughts. Thank you for sharing.
Refundable tax credits, you call them subsidies.
Thank you for sharing your comments.
I guess my name is Mike Minch from San Antonio, and thank you. I've familiar with the medical industry. I was an EMS helicopter pilot for years, including with Bay Flight LifeNet program. A couple of things: if you can look into yourself and say, why not universal health care for all before? If we can run up a $20 trillion bill to fight a war and kill people, and I'm a Vietnam veteran, I was a health. If we can spend $20 trillion trying to kill people, how about a few trillion dollars for the wellness of the American people? I have one other thing to say, and this concerns me deeply. The president has said in another month or two he'll have a plan. And I want you to know that I watched Lawrence O'Donnell's show on MSNBC last night, and there was two eminent psychiatrists saying that our president is mentally ill. And that's... to me, I'm not saying that. I'm saying eminent psychiatrists have said that, and a lot of people felt that way. What's your opinion on that?
I don't believe our president is mentally ill.
I'm good. It's nice to see you. Yes, my name is Debbie Shippey. I live in Quihalo. My name is Debbie Shippey, and I live in Quihalo. I'm a senior citizen, and the only group I belong to is AARP. And I'd like to know the people here that are being paid to come. I hear that on the news all the time. We get paid to come to these things?
No, I've told you that I feel that you are my constituent.
And we appreciate that.
And even if you're outside of my district,
United States of America.
I have an obligation to listen to you. The best ideas come from the people.
Yes, and unlike my senator who didn't show up. I understand you're on the health committee, and we appreciate what you're trying to do to give us all health care. I have some concerns, and someone else had brought this up, that we're supposed to be the most powerful, richest nation in the world, and we rank with third world nations for our health care for our people. That's unconscionable. I mean, I agree with the last gentleman, our veteran, who said that we should be taking care of our people. I have an example for you. I volunteer at the hospital, and we have people come in who don't have insurance and have to walk out. I've seen people walk out in gowns because they are so frightened that they cannot pay their bill. There was somebody who came in who broke their ankle. They were playing baseball, slipped, twisted their ankle. They were in the ER for 4 hours, had four x-rays. Would you like to take a guess at how much that bill was? $30,000. Is that reasonable? I mean, we're attacking Obamacare, we're attacking the insurance company, we're attacking. It really comes down to the healthcare people who charge exorbanant amount of money like that.
Thank you.
There needs to be something that's reining some of that in. And you mentioned the drugs that you're going to be working on. The drug companies are the worst. Why can you go to Canada and get cheaper drugs?
Thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Those are my questions to you. And when you're on the committee, are we going to be able to shop in Canada?
No, we have a lot of people to get to, sir. I'm sorry. Please keep it 2 minutes. Thank you. I'll let you know when you get in there.
Well, I'm a Vietnam veteran, too. My name is Brad Claggett. And my question is, if you're going to appeal Obamacare and replace it, are you going to make it more affordable for the people?
That's the key.
That's the key.
The costs are too high. The costs are too high. We need to be focusing on the costs.
Sir, please continue with your thought.
All right. That.
So the answer is yes.
Okay, that was one question. Yeah. Another thing I'd like to know is, with all these things that the president is promising to do or wants to do, how is he going to finance it? How is he going to pay for it? Is he going to open his own checkbook? Because I can't see how he can do it the way he's talking. Tax cuts here, tax cuts there. We're already in debt. How can we pay for
Thank
more
you
than
for
we're
sharing your comments.
Bringing in? Any businessman knows if you bring in $100, and you spend $110, you lost money. You're going in a hole more. We're deep enough. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your comments. Before you get started, ma'am, I'm going to call a few more names. H. Kim Trainer, Stuart Walter. I think that says Stuart. If there's somebody with a name close to Stuart Walter. Jennifer Higgins, Christopher Johnson, Chris Dobie, Jim Lane, and Mona Bedard. And ladies and gentlemen, we have one more hour left, so if we can please keep our comments to 2 minutes, that'd be great. Thank you. Go ahead, ma'am.
I'm Charlotte Pingley, and I had a woman I brought home for 4 years off the streets and was taken care of. Well, she had a stroke, and she got her to the hospital. They put her in ICU, and they took her right out the next day and tried to make her work, and she kept on saying she had something moving in her brain. Well, because she didn't have no insurance, they just kept on making her work and not leaving her alone just to get her out, and she died that other day because she didn't have no insurance. And then my mother, I got her on Humana. Now they're saying they're going to take that away from her. It's really good for her because she'll be 80 years old. And this Obamacare is saying, and she turns 74 and she's 80, they're just going to let her die. That's not right. And then President Trump, I've been telling him, we have ISIS here. I have 8 children, grandchildren. in my yard. We was in the swimming pool. We came home from North Carolina. And the squat law, people can come and live on your land without, you can't get them off. You have to go and evict them. I got them evicted and got them out, and the cops brought them back in. And I said, these people are acting like ISIS. They got knives chopping each other and fighting. They said, well, we got ISIS in Day City. And Obama wouldn't let them touch them. So, anyways, I'm just saying, a guy got murdered at my kids' playhouse.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So Trump is doing his work.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Okay, good. Yeah, you too. Hi, my name is Kim Trainer. I am a licensed clinical social worker. Hey, I know. I was like, I just saw you in court. Anyway, Gus, I'm going to tell you real quick. My son just is going to be 21 next month. And 20 years ago, when I was fighting for child support, the state had taken it back, and I had called your office for help. You made one phone call, and they released that check. So I was always grateful for you. I'm going to be honest. I'm a Democrat because I'm a social worker. I want the same rights that I enjoy. I want every other human being to enjoy those rights. However, this last election, you're the only Republican that I voted for because of what you do for veterans, because I work with the veterans. Here's my question. I worry about ACA as it goes with Medicaid, because if we lose a huge portion of that Medicaid, a lot of our veterans that are opiate addicted are not going to be able to get that medication. That Vivitrol for opiate addiction, the VA does not offer anymore, or they don't. And it's $1,400 a shot for every single addict. But it works. So what I'm wondering about is, are you going to, the Medicaid expansion, are you looking at...
Writing it down.
Good. Are you looking at restructured to a block grant or capped? Because then we will, all the people that have no insurance and the veterans that can't go to the VA for whatever reason, they come back with PTSD, they do get addicted to drugs, and they're our problem, and they deserve everything that we could give them.
And I know I'm not supposed, my staff always tell me, don't respond to everything so we can hear to everyone. We can hear everyone, and I know we have a limited amount of time, but I did pass a VA bill with regard to mental health, PTS, and TBI, and bringing in the alternative therapies within the VA. So we got to make sure that our veterans get the help that they need. And then as far as the block grant or the per capita, that's a discussion that we're having right now. So can I ask you a question? What do you prefer, if you prefer any of those two? And if you want to explain what it's all about, I think it's important that people hear.
I think that, I'm not all that schooled in it, but I can tell you that if you vote for the block grant, we lose. The people that are uninsured and the mental health clients and the substance abusing clients will lose. So I don't know what the other option is. Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. And, and folks, we're at this point, the discussions that I've had, because I want to protect Florida, with regard to Medicaid, obviously. And the discussions that I've had are, and the position is that the state will not be penalized as far as getting Medicaid dollars because we did not expand Medicaid. So that's a good position for Florida, and we want to keep that because we've got to take care of our people.
My name is Stuart Walters. I live in Land O'Lakes. I'm also a Vietnam veteran. People have asked how President Trump is going to pay for this. Repealing Obamacare is going to give huge tax breaks to people. The rich people are going to get a lot of money back. People in the middle class are going to get a little bit of money back. Some of the ways they're going to pay for it is they're going to cut the child's health insurance program. That's going to be decimated. They're going to do such things as cutting the meals for kids in schools. I've got a lot of relatives that are educators. They tell me about these kids. A lot of them don't know what they're going to do in the summertime because they don't get a lot of meals. There's a lot of poor people in schools. they need those meals. I think it's silly that we worry about some of the things like Medicare, Social Security. We could fix it in 2 minutes by raising the cap on income. Everybody here pays a certain amount of money on their income up to $118,000. I think the people up to, say, $5 million could pay the same thing. They're going to have a lot of money left over. We could take care of the people. We could have universal health care.
Just to clarify, I'm driving Mike crazy here. Just to clarify, he's a Marine, by the way. He served his country 2 tours in Iraq, and he's doing an outstanding job. Just to clarify, sir, so you all know, the SCHIP program, which is the children's program that we're all concerned about because I voted for it several times. My dad was responsible for getting the program online to make sure that our kids get the proper health care that they need. Because, you know, some kids, families don't qualify for Medicaid, yet they don't have enough money to pay insurance premiums. So we want to make sure that the SCHIP program is reauthorized, and we're going to reauthorize that program more than likely by the end of April. Okay, it runs out in September. We're going to get that done as soon as possible, again, in a bipartisan fashion. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Higgins, and I am a walking, talking, pre-existing condition. I had cancer about 5 years ago, and I'm a survivor. And thank you. But I don't want you to clap. I just want you to look in your soul, and if you think the insurance industry and Big Pharma gives a rat's ass about me as an individual, they do not. It is a when this country is run, and our insurance and Big Pharma is run as a profit model, then your health care is secondary. It has nothing to do with how healthy you are. And that is why we, in this country, have, what is it, 37th in the industrialized world, I think you quoted. That's what I've heard. Right. Right. So in some ways, we're talking about rearranging the chairs on the deck chairs on the Titanic, right? That what we need to do is fix the whole thing. And I understand, as a Republican, you can't possibly even say the words, you know, health care for all in terms of single payer. But that's really what we need to look at if we want to take care of everyone.
Good evening. And first off, thank you for having us at Town Hall and for the service you're doing, stepping up to be a part of our government for the this shining beacon on the hill, which the United States is, of liberty and justice. So thank you. I can't really add to a whole lot to what's been said here, except to note that I've been through the experience of having a hospitalization without insurance and having to depend upon charity care, and even then having huge bills. Not all of which got paid, in fact, because there are just too many of them. And I got lucky that way. It could have been a lot worse. And I have insurance now. I got the little magic blue card that does at least get me to the hospital, and I'm afraid of losing that. Yes, we can talk about the problems, and I'm aware of those, the co-pays, the high deductibles, and so forth that come up. But I tell you, I'm not hearing anything from the Republican side that would be feasible for me. Health savings account, forget it. I don't make the money for that. I don't make the money for tax credits. I do not...
Well, you would still get the tax credit whether you make the money or not. So the tax credit will be sent. It will be, and I know some people don't like this word, but it will be sent directly, like a voucher, directly to the insurance company of your choice. So it will be sent directly to the insurance company of your choice, okay? And and so that'll help you pay for the policy. And it also is portable, so you don't have to stay. You don't have to stay at your job if you don't want to. That's to clarify, that's all. No problem. I just wanted to clarify, that's all.
Yeah. Well, I just still don't see that the voucher being sufficient to cover the expense that would probably be incurred I don't think it would cover the job. I don't think it would do it. Competition, yeah, it sounds good, but that would be the race to the bottom. You had the policies that would be, it looks like you have with your credit cards for, you can pay the 25% interest, whatever it is, because of places like Delaware and Nevada that don't regulate so heavily. What would happen? So I haven't heard anything from the Republican side that I think would be feasible.
Thoughts,
please, I just urge you, don't take away what I've got, because I do need that. I'm over 62, or 62 years old, pardon me, and I got illnesses, folks. Little usual things. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Chris Dobie. I'm from Dunedin. And, well, thanks for listening. Just a couple of points. Number one, I don't think we should depend on insurance companies to make health care affordable. They've had almost 100 years where they could have done that. So we'll just forget about them. And number two, I don't understand why you have to repeal Obamacare. Fix it. When Medicare was created, it was not perfect. And over the years, Medicare has learned how to keep costs down, kept fraud down. I mean, they've gotten really good at it. Look at that model and create universal health care for the rest of us. Why not? Okay. So on a personal level, I'm a little over 3 years away from Medicare. If you repeal, I have several pre-existing. I lost my husband 4 years ago to cancer. He had insurance. It was great. It was through his employer. But because I don't have insurance through my employer, I pay about 25% of my income for premium with a $6,000 deductible. So last year, yes, and when I first took it, it was very affordable. So I could live with it. Prices are going up. The deductibles are going up. Last year, I did not use my insurance at all. I didn't go see my doctor. The only thing I did was maintain my medications. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll let you know when you're getting closer to me.
We do have to focus on the folks. Thank you for your story. The folks that aren't quite eligible for Medicare, and they're kind of falling through the cracks as well. So we definitely have to represent them with affordable. $6,000 is too much as far as a deductible is concerned. I don't know who can afford that.
I guess, first of all, thank you for being here and listening to this. I'm not paid to be here, and as far as I know, I'm not part of any left-wing cabal or conspiracy, but if somebody's handing out checks, I'll take it. But so anyway, I'm remembering hearing some golden age of insurance pre-Obamacare. Just a quick story. I'm a retired school principal, was a teacher. About 30 years ago, my daughter, a little toddler, just learning to walk, couldn't walk. Turns out she had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Scary. Really no treatment then. I'm not sure if there's a treatment now. We didn't know if she was going to spend her life in a wheelchair. We prayed, we cried, we prayed, we cried. She got better, okay? Periodically, she was treated along the way, in good shape. She was a dancer. She's a dancer now. All good, okay? Well insured under my plan. Now, just for the record, as a school board employee, my insurance was paid. My family's was not, okay? Insurance premiums pre-Obamacare rose to more than $1,200 a month. Now, with my salary and my wife's salary, we could afford that. Had many teachers who could not afford to under the golden age of the previous system, could not afford to insure their kids, okay? So that's no system to go back to. When my daughter graduated from college, she was working for a small business, which I think we honor, yes, did not offer health care. Okay. So she filled out the forms. I helped her fill out the forms. She applied for insurance. Have you ever been treated for this arthritis? Being honest people working with the system, yes. You know what happened? She was denied. And I want to challenge anybody here, whatever your position, if you're looking at your child who has been told you cannot get insurance, not that they can't afford it, not that they're pretty miserable, cannot be insured. I'm telling you, man, it changes your worldview. So I talked to a physician, talked to an insurance agent, both separately. Their advice was, you know what, Jim? Well, it's important. The point was, go back, apply for another insurance, don't say anything about the arthritis. And we did. We did that. And you know what? She got insurance. We worried about it because we're good Americans. You're not supposed to do things like that. Fortunately, her employer started offering insurance, and so she got it. Okay? Great. Now she's a couple of degrees later. She's employed again. She's an independent contractor. She has a MamaCare or whatever you want to call it, a reasonable price. The morning after the election, she was in tears. Why? Because her candidate lost? Yes. But also, her question to me was, what am I going to do about health insurance? Okay? Now, before you label me as some kind of left-wing, I have a sister-in-law. Okay, what? You know, and I actually did call your office, and I asked this question, and there was no structure. So anyway, before you label me as something else, I have a sister-in-law working poor, another state, fits all the categories, high deductible, chose not to be insured, but when she gets a lump in her breast, she's going to go to the ER, and we're all going to pay for it. So my point is, who cares what you call it? Okay, get together, we have a moral imperative, you know, you guys have the floor now. It's your time. You need to bring things together. Think about my daughter. Think about my sister-in-law. And let's work together to get something done, okay?
Before you go, if we can call some more names. Christine Hires, Donna Parthamis, Roberta Leroy, Diane Verdehest, Jocelyn Dickman, Tom O'Shea, Kurt Ackerbach, John DeSantis.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mona Bedard. I live here in Wesley Chapel. I am a Democrat, but I did vote for you. I'm coming to the point where I'm very glad that you're listening to us, because I think that you're one of the Republicans that realize that we are all Americans. It doesn't matter what side of the table you sit on. And we appreciate that. My story, I have four daughters. I had one at 24 years old who, thanks to Obamacare, ACA, whatever you want to call it, was covered under my insurance. She was sick for a very long time. She was working, going to school, had a child. Every day she kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and the doctors could not figure out what it was. And anyone here in the medical profession can understand a pheochromocytoma. It's very rare. They usually find it only in the autopsy, but because she was covered, she's still alive. She's 30 now. She's on ACA, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. My question is, where do you find all these high prices? I get on the insurance with her, on the computer with her, and get the insurance. Here is the proof, $161 a month for her and her son. Her deductible is $900. To go to the doctor, it's $1 copay. To go to specialists is $10. And of course, she has many specialists. I work, I get a cafeteria style. My deductible is $3,000. Why the difference? Another aside, I'm Canadian also. I see, and I grew up with that single-payer system. I see what it does. You don't have to worry. You're sick, you go. There are many, many things wrong with that kind of system also. But here we are, a month after Republicans won. You're asking us for our input. Please keep Obamacare, but tweak it. Okay. We need the coverage, whether it's like Canada or whether it's like Obamacare, but I don't see any thing being offered. So please, sit there together and work it out.
Please give me 2 minutes. I'll let you know when you're getting the 2 minutes.
All right, my name is Christine Hires. I live in Zephyr Hills, and I'm in one of your constituents. And I worked for the state for 32 years, and I saw a lot of my clients that did not have insurance, that lost their jobs. I worked in vocational rehabilitation, and many of them did lose their jobs and their insurance. And we could help them with their eyes because I worked for blind services, but any other health conditions they had, so many of them suffered through that. And the Medicaid expansion that we did not accept in Florida was one of the worst things, I think, that ever happened. And that is what I'm so upset about more than anything else, I think, is that there were so many people that fell through the cracks that did not have enough income to get Obamacare. I even worked in helping sign up people for Obamacare the first year that it came out, and I saw the premiums. I know they have gone up, but most people, about 90%, get subsidies, so it's only the 10% that really are suffering. I realize that they are suffering, and it is hard. So whatever it has to be replaced with, it has to have something of the same things that Obamacare has, but there has to be some way to pay for it, and with Trump wanting to cut all the taxes, I don't know how you expect to have a good plan that will actually cover something, you know. But now they have the insurance with the high deductibles, but they may not be able to get it at any better price with what, you know, is coming up. So I am definitely for universal health care, and I believe that's the only way that in the end we will be able to sustain our population's health care.
I'm one of your newest constituents. I'm from Dunedin. And I was at the Palm Harbor meeting that you had, and I came home from that. I was so devastated, I couldn't do anything for the rest of the day. Listening to those people with all of the problems they have and all of the health conditions, the guy with hemophilia, the people with the heart things, and they are depending on the Affordable Care Act. And I know that you are compassionate because I could see you putting your hands around them. I could see that you were affected too. But, you know, not everybody can come to your office and get help. We need affordable care for everyone. We need universal health care. We even have a system for it. Medicare works. Why not just expand it for everybody?
Hi there. We've met. Hi. My name is Diane Verhoost. I'm from San Antonio. I actually moved down here about 9 years ago from New Hampshire, so I'm sort of a newbie to the county. San Antonio is a great place, by the way. San Antonio's, yeah, it's great. I live in Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club, so we're not quite as rural as the rest of the place. But anyway, I don't want to be rude with this question, but I'm only asking because of I'm sort of new to the district. I heard a gentleman say that you've been working on repealing since 2010, and you have run on that. And I appreciate that position. But my question is, since you have been working on repealing since 2010, why haven't we been having these listening sessions a little bit earlier so that we could have been planning on the replacement for this repeal? Because that would have meant that you had 6 years of your replacement plan. You see my position? So. Because if your intent is to repeal and replace, it seems like we're a little short on the planning part of that. So I'm not trying to be fresh here, but I just don't quite understand that. My next part is, I said that I came down here about 9 years ago, whatever it was, from New Hampshire. I was a teacher up there. I'm one of those people that have a little gap here. I'm still paying for my own insurance out of pocket. But I have to say that the rates, once the Affordable Care Act came in, everyone's talking about rate increases, but my increase, actually, it has slowed since the Affordable Care Act. So now I'm not sure if that's because I'm still purchasing from my employer in New Hampshire, and perhaps that's a more favorable state, with the Affordable Care Act, and I'm not sure that if that's the reason why or not, but I can tell you that the rate of increase slower since the Affordable Care Act. Okay, my next question is, people have mentioned reasons that they favor the Affordable Care Act, pre-existing conditions and all of that, but no one's mentioned the preventive care aspects of that, and I'd like you to address that also, yes. Because there are many, many preventive care aspects of the colonoscopies, mammographs, that has helped me because I still am paying, and because I'm still quite short of Medicare. And because I did retire to help my aging parents down here in Florida, my dad was a retired Navy pilot, and so I retired here to help him. So I didn't pay any Social Security as much. So I have a little shortage of income, and Medicare, it sounds like you're going to cut. So all of that's concerns for me, and the preventive care has helped.
I think it's very important to have the preventative care provision. And I also will tell you that I've been having town halls since I was elected in all parts of the district. And I want to clarify something, too. I can't verify that no Democrat had a town hall prior to the Affordable Care being passed. But I will say that we had virtually no input in the Congress while I was there. So, again, folks, it's not a report. And I want to say this again, I want to repeat, health care is personal. It's not a Republican issue, it's not a liberal issue, a conservative issue, it's a personal issue. And that's why your stories mean so much to me. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tom O'Shea. I'm actually kind of lucky. I kind of feel like I win the lottery. I'm young, I'm healthy. I have an employer who pays most of my health care, so I mean, I don't really necessarily need the ACA. Actually, I have a healthcare savings account. My deductible's technically really high. I'm really healthy. I don't really need to go to the doctor ever. So for me, I kind of feel like I won the lottery. I'm not necessarily sure how it's set up exactly, but like I said, no, that's cool. I just want to say on the point you were just making a second ago, on February 25th, 2010, there was a roundtable with the Republicans and President Obama at the Blair House. Yeah. So the Republicans were involved with the ACA. They just chose not to participate. If you want to vote no, that's your choice, but don't say you didn't have a voice in saying no.
Well, that was only Paul Ryan and a couple leadership members. Yeah, but the rank and file members were basically shut out.
Yeah, but that's your leadership. You vote on your leadership who then participates in that. Anyways, but my viewpoint is I think we should expand the ACA. I understand there's a lot of problems with the pricings of it. Originally, one of the aspects that Obama was trying to get in, but because of some of the Democrats that were trying to play with all the Democrats, because, like I said, the Republicans didn't want to play with it, was a public option. If you include a public option, then you can deal with that, you know, competition problem. And another personal view of mine is, if you don't like that view, Medicare for all. I mean, I'm turning 30 this year. I'd love to sign into Medicare. And I guarantee you, I won't be taking much out. I'm really young. I'm really healthy. I won't be spending money out of Medicare. I'd be putting money in. So if you sign me up for Medicare, I'm not a liability. I'm an asset.
Hello. Thank you for having this meeting. My name is Roberta Leroy, and I'm from San Antonio. Medical savings account. When I was working, I had a medical savings account, and it covered basically nothing. It just covered copays and some drugs and maybe about $900 worth of stuff for the total year. Well, if you were sick, it was a...
We do want to expand the coverage.
Yeah, well, if it's my salary that's going to have to add to that, that's going to be really, really hard in those days. You know what I'm saying? Particularly if you're poor and you're working, you don't have that kind of money. I worked with a woman last year who... was trying to get her life back together, and she had to keep going to this agent. And she finally got herself a job, and she's working 12-hour days, and she still can't get medical insurance. You know, that's just, so medical savings account for a person like that would not work, and they, she can't get Medicaid here, so what's she going to do?
How do you feel about purchasing or having this as an option to purchase health insurance across state lines? How would that work for you as an option, a choice?
Depend, you know, a lot of it depends on how much it costs and what it covers, you know. More choices would be good, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing your comments.
Hi, my name is John DeSantis. Thanks for being here.
Hey,
I have a question about the repeal. So, is there going to be a Section 1557 in it? That's the health insurance discrimination.
No discrimination with regard to health insurance. Yes. No discrimination.
What about sex? I have a question because a couple years ago, the job I was in when I started my family, I couldn't afford to insure my wife. It would have been too expensive. It would have doubled the premiums that we were paying for monthly. So I had to feel like less of a husband and less like of a man because I couldn't afford to cover my wife. So it would be really nice that if this repeal is going to go forward or whatever, that there's something in place to make sure that someone like me that has a family that has to live paycheck to paycheck with very little in savings, I can make sure that, you know, my wife is covered. And if any of us get sick, we can just pay a few dollars and go see a doctor.
That's certainly my position, that there'd be no sex discrimination either. Yeah, I understand. I understand the question. Yes.
Should not be a pre-existing condition.
Yes, what Representative Blaraki said is being a woman should not be a pre-existing condition. And he said that. So thank you. Hi, thank you for having us. My name is Jocelyn Dickman. I live in Lutz, though I usually say Wesley Chapel because it sounds nicer. Before I lived in Lutz, I lived in New York. I lived in Brooklyn. Thank you, laughing. In September of 2001. The attacks on World Trade Center came into my home. As a child, I had asthma, and it had gone away. But then when all of that poison came in through my air conditioning, I had towels lining my windows to try to keep that out. So in 2006, my asthma came back. And then I lost a job, and when I applied for insurance, I was denied because I had asthma. And you know why I had asthma? Because of a terrorist attack in the United States that came into my bedroom. Under the Affordable Care Act, I was able to not only get insurance, but insurance that said, you have asthma, we're going to help you. Why are you saying I shouldn't be able to breathe? In my bedroom. You didn't say that. It's been said. So people who are saying we shouldn't have the Affordable Care Act, we should rely on private insurance and competition. Competition is why we need the Affordable Care Act. Have you looked at the salaries of the CEOs of insurance companies? Competition to them is who can I deny coverage? The insurance company's job is not to provide us with health, it's to provide their shareholders with money. That is their responsibility and their job. The problem isn't that they're not doing the right thing by us with affordable with insurance. It's that we're expecting them to. It's not their job. Their job, their only goal is money. Our goal is lives. Every life here
comments,
in this
ma'am?
Room has value. Yes. I'm sorry, I have to wrap up. So thank you, everyone who's here today, because every life here matters.
All right, Gus, so longtime constituent, Hillsborough County, longtime fan. I've seen you in a parade. You waved at me and you threw candy to my kids. Been a hospital administrator for a long time. Got out of the business in back in 96, 97 when it just kind of got untenable and went off and worked in IT. But I understand how healthcare works. I was also a volunteer fireman and rode in the back ambulances. So I've seen healthcare from different perspectives. Now, I don't buy my own military. You tax me and you provide it to me as a common good. I don't buy my own law enforcement officers. You tax me and provide it as a common good. I don't buy my own streets. You tax me and provide it as a common good. It's time that healthcare become a common good.
I'm Diane Sanchez, and thank you for having us here today. I know a lot of the reason for the increase in healthcare costs has been due to the increase in drug prices. It's not just the generics that are going up, but there are new drugs that are coming out onto the market, which are absolute lifesavers. A lot of these are the biologics. You have Janus kinase inhibitors. These are godsends to the people who get them. Unfortunately, these prices range anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 a year. Okay? Right now, the only insurance company in Pasco, ACA or not, which covers any of these drugs is Florida Blue. And they will only pay 50% of that cost per month. So if you have a drug that's going for, say, $3,800 a month, you are expected, as your copay, to produce $1,900 a month for that one medication, plus your premium. And at that point, you don't have a selection of doctors. At any rate, what I'm asking is, with the proposals that I've seen that are coming up for the tax credits and the HSAs, I don't see any way that people are going to be able to afford these medications when they need them. What's going to be done about this?
That's why, you know, earlier I told you about my particular bill, the bipartisan bill, to reduce the drug costs and put, you know, generics or a drug that doesn't have a competition to make sure we get it approved by the FDA within 6 months instead of 15 months and get it on the market so these insurance companies will cover. And I also have something called the Open Act, okay, and this is for rare diseases. Okay, 95% of the rare diseases in this country, okay, there are 10,000 rare diseases. 95% of these rare diseases do not have cures or treatments, okay? They do not. Now, people are taking medication off label, but it's very expensive. You wanted me to talk about this. It's very expensive, okay? And it's not approved by the FDA, so the insurance companies aren't covering. But it shows potential to help these people with rare diseases. But they're taking a chance by taking it, but they're willing to take the risk, all right? But it's better if we incentivize the companies to go back and conduct the clinical trials, okay? Okay, the clinical trials are very important to make sure that the drug is effective and safe, all right? And we want to get it approved by the FDA as soon as possible. Repurpose the medication. For example, there could be a medication. Yeah, there's a medication that treats leukemia that helps with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, all right? But again, it shows signs of working for other diseases, treating and possibly curing. I've heard stories right here in the congressional district, okay, where people are in remission, okay? So we want to make sure that we get it on the market as soon as possible so that the insurance company can cover and it's affordable. So anyway, help me pass the Open Act. Help me pass the Oakland Act. We have over 200 advocacy groups in Washington that come to Washington, D.C. and help me. It's a bipartisan bill. We've got to get this done.
Angela Baptiste.
Thank you.
Ruth Phelps. Fern Williams. Mike Munch. Donna Munch. Beverly Ledbetter. Brian Staver. Go ahead, ma'am. It's your turn.
I put my name in that list, but oh well. Okay. Barbara Madden-Rogers, San Antonio. A little closer. Barbara Madden-Rogers, San Antonio. Couple things. I would, first of all, like to hear, well, I'd like to say, from my personal opinion, I much prefer to have patient-centered solutions. I'm not comfortable with having a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington telling me what I can and cannot do. So first of all, that's my position. I am in favor of full repeal. I do believe there is much that can be done at the federal level to make things better, but I believe it really should be pushed down to the states, individual communities, and individuals to take responsibility for their own health. Okay, and I would like, thank you. I'd like to hear if you could explain a little bit more. I'm sorry I arrived late because I had to work late tonight. If you could talk a little bit about Rand Paul's proposal and what other proposals are out there as far as client-centered, patient-centered, and freedom and the free markets and competition and all that good stuff.
That's what we're for. Folks, I can't talk very long, but I will tell you this. You know, my party should have dealt with this a long time ago. All right, a long time ago. There are solutions. There are solutions are out there. And again, I want to go back to my dad in the early 90s. He had a bipartisan bill that would have solved a lot of these problems. But the Speaker of the House, because it was an opposite party, the Speaker of the House would not put it on the floor of the House of Representatives. And again, it was a great bill. Just as many Democrats and Republicans sponsored it, but my party should have dealt with this issue long ago, okay? But I'm here to listen to you tonight.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I know a lot of the other representatives haven't shown up. My name is Fern Williams, and I'm from Zephyr Hills, and I'm a retired nurse practitioner. And I just have a couple of things to say, the moral imperative. And to me, competition is not something that you do in healthcare. A friend of mine was complaining about the cost of her supplemental Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance, and she was kind of blaming the poor people. And so I went, this was just last week, I went and looked up what the CEOs of the various companies are making. And her Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, the CEO, and I think that that's supposed to be a nonprofit, the CEO makes $9 million a year. And that was just kind of in the middle of about 15 that I found. So competition really doesn't work. It's not something that belongs in healthcare. And the other thing is, I remember a few years ago, and I don't remember how many, but Congress voted against negotiating drug prices for Medicare. Do you remember that, or what was the point, and why aren't we doing it?
It's been proven in the past, and I'm going to be open-minded, okay, but it has been proven that it doesn't make much of a difference as far as the price is concerned. I mean, there's been studies on it, okay, but I'm going to continue to be open-minded on that issue, okay?
It works in the VA. It doesn't definitely work in the VA.
If we could allow the person who's speaking, allow the speaker to speak.
Hi, Gus. My name is Angela Baptiste. I live in Tarpon Springs, and I've been a piano teacher there for over 40 years. I don't make a lot of money doing that. It's a vocation for me. First of all, I just want to say that I appreciate both sides of the aisle on this issue. And I want to say that I did not vote for Barack Obama for president. But I do think he did something good by bringing the pre-existing conditions to light, for sure, and having people be able to stay on their parents' health insurance, you know, in their later 20s. And I really am here to call for unity and love. And we need to be able to speak the truth to each other in love. And, you know, none of us has a monopoly on the truth. You know, I certainly don't. And I don't think anyone here does. There are people much smarter than me about this issue. I have a few opinions. I'll share them quickly. But I really want to see we are all Americans. And despite all of our downfalls, we do live in the best country in the world. And let me just say this. Let me just say this. I'm married to a guy who was born in Vietnam. And the first 4 years of his life in Saigon, he slept on a concrete floor, and the bathroom was the backyard. And he, when he was seven, his mom moved the family to Paris. And within a couple years, she was dead. And she had tuberculosis, and they misdiagnosed her. They sent her home, and in a matter of 2 weeks, she was gone. I know that it's easy to have a really romantic view of other countries and their healthcare system. Right now, we're taking care of my nephew who lives in Switzerland. And he comes over here, and I appreciate your kindness, and okay, in listening. But, okay, but anyway, he had to come here to my daughter's dentist because he had a terrible toothache, and they had filled his teeth over the decay. So, and his mother has all kinds of female problems that they misdiagnosed in Switzerland. So, Medicare for all, I too agree with the person. I do not want the bureaucracy between me and my doctor. I want competition for our insurance, not for our health care, okay? Across state lines, we've never tried that yet. And I think there's some great ideas. I really commend you, Gus. I really commend you. I think you have a lot of love in you, and I would really call all of us to love each other, okay? Thank you.
Gus, thank you for showing up. Where's Rubio? Anybody know where Rubio is? Sir, and thank you for your service. I'm a Navy vet myself. Okay, folks, here we go. Here's the deal. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada a couple, 3 years back, and I was sitting in and I was watching the NHL hockey with my wife and 40 Canadians. Of course, you know that's going to be a party right there. Now, I'm the kind of person, as you can see, who will stand up in front of a crowd of people and ask you questions and talk to you directly. Remember that when I run for office, by the way. The matter was, I stood up in that group and I asked those 40 Canadians, do you like your system? Do you like your healthcare system? Do you appreciate what they do for you? And without failure, 40 out of 40 Canadians stood up and said, we love our healthcare system. It's wonderful. Now, we can sit here and we can discuss outliers all day long where somebody says, oh, this person was blah or this person was blah. But the general consensus of those 40 Canadians was, we love our healthcare system. Now, why can't we, as Americans, do the same thing? Why can't we work together, save the ACA, fix it? We need to fix it. Sure, everything needs to be fixed. You know, there is no... Excuse me? Oh, that lady is exactly right. That lady
Sir,
is exactly right.
Comments.
They don't want to.
You could wrap up your comments.
Huh? Oh, she is. Oh, okay. So, folks, let's get together. Let's make it right. Let's repair it. Let's make it function. Let's get things done. Repealing and replacing is a lot of hullabaloo where people are just, oh, blah, 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 blah. It's repair the ACA. Let's make it happen.
Okay. Again, before the next person.
Thank you.
Ine Angleton. Frank Galdo. Maria Richardson. Lisa Mazza. Catherine Mantanis. Andy Werner.
My name is Beverly Ledbetter, and I live in Dade City. And I have been watching a lot of the town halls on television, and I hear story after story. And to be blunt with you, for 8 years, people have been sharing their stories of how the affordable health care or Obamacare has touched their lives. And I think I can speak for most people in here that we feel that it's fallen on deaf ears. So I began to think, what could we frame healthcare as so that some of your other Republican congresspeople would understand how important it is? So I began to think of it outside of the box in a way perhaps that if you could get your party to understand that healthcare is not a convenience. We talk about it being a moral obligation, but I think it's more than that. If we frame it as an issue of national security. And I state that because if the Republican Party and our congressmen think about it in that way, it might lead us towards that single-payer option that we need. And I say this because the world that we live in is increasingly smaller and smaller. With globalization, transportation so fast, when we think about the spread of diseases, AIDS in Africa, Zika in Brazil, epidemics in one area become pandemics around the country. Your enemy always looks for your weakest link. And in this country, our weakest link is our citizens' ability to have timely, accessible, affordable health care. So it's an issue of national security. And just as we would not take our national security and ever turn it over to a private organization, I don't think that health care is going to work, and I think that we can see it has not worked, under private care. And if we think for 1 minute that private insurance companies are going to step aside and sacrifice their profits for public health, then maybe they need to hang out with those ISIS people floating around Dade City, because that is not going to happen. Yeah. So my question is, would you take back this idea of the national security, and would you talk to your fellow congressmen of arming our people in this country with health care?
Thank you. I'll take your thoughts back to Washington, D.C. Let me ask y'all a question real quick. How many folks feel that we have the best quality health care system in the world? Are you happy with the quality? Are you happy with the quality? All right. What about the timeliness? Really? Okay, and I think everyone agrees with this. It costs too much, isn't that right? Okay. All right, thank you.
Ine.
Thank you.
Ine is next.
I beg your pardon?
Ine, you're next.
Okay, do you mind? Since I'm here already, thank you. I'll just only be a moment. I've never met you before. My name is Carol Vaughn. I'm very thankful that you're out here tonight. I actually stood up out of turn because it was feeling very much like the new administration in place with a lack of diversity. And I had not heard any voices from other people of color or religion. And I thought it was important, even though I understood it was a random selection. I have been here earlier and I saw other people come in. But at any rate, I live in Zephyr Hills. I'm a transplanted New Yorker, and I'm quite tired of having to carry this civil rights mantle for 60 years, but here I am. And so I'm a 10-year breast cancer survivor, fortunate that I had insurance. Thank you very much. Moffitt was excellent. And I was fortunate I have insurance, but I am in debt from even that to no end. It will probably never be resolved. But what about all the people that I see who have no health insurance, no care, and this administration, the agenda, nothing seems to be inclusive for women, although we are the majority of this country. Planned Parenthood is under attack, abortion rights are under attack, choice because we are all pro-life, but we are in fact pro-choice, while some may be anti-choice. But nothing concerning women's rights is being brought up to the front of this argument. And as far as the Affordable Care Act, it has so many good components that I'm wondering why the idea is to repeal it when they could just expand and improve it. My daughter, who has worked hard, despite the fact that she went through my illness, she's in college, my third child about to graduate, and she has done everything she can. By the way, I had to show my tax returns to get loans, but anyway. Sorry, I apologize. Thank you for letting me go. But she is about to graduate, and she should have coverage because she's done everything society has asked her to do, to be a productive member and to add good things to the world with a college degree and an education, and she should have coverage for insurance because there aren't going to be a lot of options to protect her until she's 26. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your comments. Ine, you're next.
Hi. As you can tell, I have a pre-existing condition. Mine was created here. My issue is that I have a kid who can't even join an ACA because it's too expensive. She doesn't meet the criteria to get any subsidization. The issue I have is that we've actually called Governor Scott because it's due to the fact her marriage did not do the expansion. That's the reason why she's not getting any help with her ACA. Why is it that you're allowing people to come up here complaining about the cost and not directing them to the right place, which is Governor Scott? That's annoying, and it's offensive. The sad part is that she has medication she can't even get because we all have medical issues. So we're trying to make ends meet. We're trying to budget. We're trying to afford. Believe me, I am a responsible person when it comes to finances. We would have been homeless over 6 months ago if I wasn't. And yet, we have to sit there and choose and pick who's going to get it. And yes, I have complained to the governor about that because I don't understand why we didn't do the expansion so that way she can afford her medication, so that way I can afford some medication, so that way my other two kids can afford some medication. And I also have another issue with the fact of the matter that you have not come out to demand Trump's tax returns. That is annoying. As I had the sign up. Because I understand you're trying to do party loyalty, but I, as a citizen, I have to pay my tax returns. And by the way, I'm also a nurse. I have to pay my tax returns. And I'm trying to figure out why it is that as a public figure, he hasn't shown his.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Ine, you're next.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Gus, thank you for holding the town halls. I do really respect that and appreciate that.
Thank you for your patience.
I like to consider myself kind of a reluctant Democrat in that I think that the two-party system is very flawed. But what I'm hearing, there's a lot of bipartisan issues within the Affordable Health Care Act. I have a pre-existing condition. I'm fortunate, like the gentleman who came up earlier, I am covered by my employer. I do have a health savings account. I will say this notion, though, of like everyone getting a health savings account is just not realistic or practical. It's going to hurt the economy because if I'm putting more, repealing the Affordable Care Act creates a lot of financial insecurity for many Americans. Unlike the current president, Obama did have a mandate twice. He won the electoral. He won the popular vote. We did not have to come and stand at a town hall because we voted and our votes counted. Trump does not have a mandate. This administration does not have a mandate. And that's really important to understand. We are not paid protesters. I'm a teacher. I teach high school history. I teach a class on politics. I am not paid. I am taking time away from my children to be here, but they appreciate and understand because as immigrants, they are in this country believing that it's supposed to be better. To the woman who spoke about what it's like coming from other countries, I will tell you, as someone with a pre-existing condition, I had lupus for about 10 years here in the United States. I went to my doctors. My doctors continued to misdiagnose me. I moved abroad to a third world country. I received incredible medical care. I was properly diagnosed. It saved my life, and it cost me almost nothing. I came back to the United States.
If you could please wrap up your thoughts. Mm-hmm.
And within 2 weeks, I was hospitalized and had a $30,000 medical bill because I was in a transition period. Luckily, I had already obtained a job because I've never not had a job in my adult life. I've always relied on myself, and I don't ever want to get to a place where I have to rely on my government to take care of my health care. But where we are headed because of competition is a place where we are having to rely. I don't want to have to be in bankruptcy because I can't be covered because of pre-existing conditions. There are a lot of issues that are really important to all of us, and they are already in the Affordable Care Act. It does not need to be repealed. It is a mess. It is a mess because we did not sit down in a bipartisan way and get it done. The GOP decided to be the party of opposition.
Thank
that was
you.
A choice. I'll get
Thank
there.
You.
But I appreciate that. One more thing. So it needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed. Absolutely. But it does not need to be repealed. It needs to be fixed.
You Thank
never,
you for sharing
GOP
your comments.
Never wanted a health care bill to begin with, and repealing it just opens it up for them to take it away.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree that it takes a good bill. Both parties, working with both parties, you get the best bill. There's no question. I want to say that, and I want to say in all defense to the president won the election. And in addition to that, he has made several statements prior to the campaign and currently that he wants to expand health care, okay? Expand health care coverage. That's his position, okay? I just wanted to make that clear.
No, sir, it's right here.
Oh.
I'm moved
Sorry
in.
About that. I didn't mean
that. My name is Lisa Mazza. I am currently a Pasco County teacher. I work next door at the elementary school. I also work with USEP and with other teachers, and I wanted to make a point about the interconnectability of healthcare within all these different organizations. We have a community school in Pasco County. A teacher makes a referral. Their agency is right on the site. The student has to have Medicaid because if he has Blue Cross Blue Shield, they won't see him. The services are right there. That's wrong. We have our SRP, who are our bus drivers, they're our cafeteria workers. They are the people that support our work in the classrooms. They're working for their health care. That's it. They take nothing else home sometimes in those paychecks. So they're doing that service for our communities just for health care. It affects our negotiations. When we're trying to negotiate a contract with the school district, we have to consider the health care costs. We have to consider the healthcare costs of the whole staff. So that brings down our wages, and we know that in certain parts we're being taken. We know that, and that's why all these people are here tonight, because we're here to say we've been taken too many times, and we want it fixed. Thank you.
Next person
right here. I just want to say, what about an idea, local control, have the states give more authority? For example, in Indiana, the people that fall through the cracks, okay, in Indiana, they have a program where people fall through the cracks where they can't qualify for Medicaid, okay? The Medicaid dollars flow through the federal government to the states, right? And then the state supplements. All right, supplements that policy, all right? And so that way you take care of the folks that can't afford private health insurance. And they get the Medicaid dollars and they get the supplement based on their income. I think that every state should have the opportunity to do that.
There you go.
Is this something to think of? Something to think about.
I keep it 2 minutes. I'll let you know when you're approaching.
Go ahead.
First of all, for the 2 minute, next time you have one of these, have the stage set with a trap door, and after the 2 minutes are up, that's it. So this way, people are more considerate of the time. First off, you took an oath to abide by the Constitution, and by your record, it doesn't reflect that. So I am giving you this, in case you haven't read it, please read it, because you did take an oath to abide by it. I applaud your efforts to repeal Obamacare. I don't support it. I don't support any federal government-mandated health insurance, so I do not support any kind of replacement. Health care should be local. The federal government, under Article 1, Section 8, the delegated powers to Congress, you could create the national environment for health care to flourish in the states where people have more control over their health care locally. We are $20 trillion in debt nationally every year. We are 70 to 100 trillion, nobody even knows a number, with unfunded liabilities that our federal government owes because they're not abiding by the Constitution. I don't know what kind of a country we're leaving our children to, but when everybody wants socialized medicine, where is the money going to come from? The Federal Reserve can continue to bankrupt us with their printing of the press, but we are so in debt, we will never pay the debt, and the more we have a federalized, socialized healthcare system is going to continue to make us more in debt. It is socialized. I pay for my own.
Please be respectful of the people who are speaking.
Keep it 2 minutes. I'll let you know. Thank you.
Okay. I truly, truly appreciate you taking the time to be here and listen to everyone. So, during any discussion about healthcare, there's a few lines that I keep hearing over and over and over and over again. Tonight's no different. And there's three in particular that I just really wanted to humbly ask you and everyone else to please stop using. And I'm going to kind of explain my logic behind that. So the first one, it's not the government's place to make decisions about your healthcare. But for some reason, it's totally fine for some giant for-profit company to make those decisions instead. I'm asking you and your colleagues to please stop and drop this illusion that our healthcare decisions are somehow between ourselves and our doctors right now. Because unless you're Trump with his own private quack doctor that he can pay out of his own pocket, those decisions are based on, can I afford to go to the doctor? Which doctor does my insurance say I can go to? Which treatments or medications do my insurance companies approve? They're making all those decisions. Why exactly, when your job is to help ensure the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for your constituents, whereas the CEO's job is to make a profit for himself and the shareholders of the company, why is the government in less of a good position to be helping to make those decisions for the citizens? So you're standing here and talking with us right now, and I truly, truly appreciate that. How many town hall listening sessions did the insurance CEOs hold before they decided to pull out of the exchanges? How many CEOs have any of you guys talked to from insurance companies? So I don't know anybody, but you, on the other hand, are standing here, you're listening to us, you are accountable to your constituents, and honestly, if we don't like how our government is running our healthcare, there's a way to deal with that. We have checks, balances, and votes. So that one just doesn't hold up. Please, everyone, stop using it. Next one. More people being covered would lead to rationing of care or longer waits to see a doctor. Now, here's the problem with this, and I want everybody to think about this really hard. Sure. Okay. So when you hear somebody say that, I want you to pause and really take a moment to think about what they just said. They're basically saying if everyone had good, affordable health care and could go when they need to the doctor, that there would be longer waiting periods. So that means we're already rationing health care in this country in a big way. But we're doing it based on an ugly economic truth, which is that some people can't afford to go, some people can't afford the medication, some people can't afford to take time off of work.
Please wrap up your comments.
Well, the one final point I wanted to make is that in some states, there's only one insurance company offering plans. We keep hearing this in some counties, blah, blah, blah. Those states tend to be the ones where the red Republican-held governors refused to accept the Medicaid expansion that was supposed to make the Affordable Care Act affordable. if you tie somebody's shoelaces together and then make fun of them for tripping, it's kind of disingenuous, and it's insulting to those of us who actually see what's going on there.
Ladies and gentlemen, we only had this room until 8 o'clock, and so we are running out of time. I'm going to call one more group of people up here. Catherine Miller, Charles Freshier, Teresa Sokol, John Woodhouse, Lydia Chavez Richards, RN, Kevin Wilson, and Dr. Sokol.
Hi there. I'm Aaron. We've not met before. I'm a Mexican-American. I'm a descendant of immigrants. And I drove an hour in the rain to be here tonight. Here's my voter card, so you know that I'm not paid to be here. But if anyone wants to reimburse my gas money, an hour drive is a lot right now, as you know. So I'm going to promise to keep it to 2 minutes. I even wrote down what I was going to say to make sure, because I am long-winded sometimes. So I'm 27 years old, but at my young age, I have several chronic health conditions as well as PTSD. Nonetheless, I have continued to work since the age of 15. I lost my employer coverage recently when I was laid off. As we all know, COBRA is completely unaffordable, so Obamacare will now be my only hope until I obtain new employment. As a transgender person, it is still legal to discriminate against me in employment in Pasco County. I don't know if you're aware of that. I'm transgender, and I can and have, in Pasco County, gone to apply for a job and been told, transgender people, we're not really cool with that. That doesn't match our image. So we're not going to hire you. They're allowed to tell me that. They are legally allowed to discriminate against me. I have no recourse. So, in other words, obtaining a new job now to get insurance is contingent not on my exceptional skills or my 10 years experience in my field, despite my young age, but on the personal feelings of potential employers. That's not to mention my concerns of whether my life-saving treatments that I need as a trans person will be suddenly dismissed as cosmetic when they are, in fact, life and death. Denial of these treatments is proven to outrageously increase the risk of suicide among my community, and especially when you already have an underlying mental health issue such as I do with PTSD. Sure. Now, I also just want to point out quickly that being transgender, certain reproductive health rights and concerns that many are calling women's rights issues are actually also issues for me. Luckily, thank God, I can go to Planned Parenthood and they have people who are trained to treat transgender people like me. So hopefully that sticks around for me. Reproductive health, mental health, transgender health, these are all universal issues. They need universal coverage. Now, I promise I'll wrap this up. Now, with my remaining time, I would like to tell you nothing about me, but about a dear friend who lives here in Pasco, over with me in Newport Richey, and could not be here tonight as she's starting chemotherapy this week. This bright young woman was working to put herself through college and was on Obamacare when she was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. After a few radiation treatments, she was told her Obamacare plan would no longer be accepted. She, of course, crumbled to tears right there in the lobby. Had no idea what she was going to do. Now, Mr. Bilirakis, I don't know if you believe in angels, but what I do know is that a good Samaritan that day in the lobby anonymously paid the $8,000 for her remaining 8 radiation treatments. Yeah. Whoever that man is, thank God for him. I am. I'm wrapping up. Now, the other thing that I do know, I see that. I appreciate that. The other thing that I do know is that not everybody has an angel like that. Not everybody gets a good Samaritan to just pop up at the right time to foot the bill. And regardless of who they are and regardless of what that situation is, they deserve hope too. She has hope of survival today because someone stepped in to help her. Give your constituents hope of survival by stepping in to help them.
We don't want any lifetime caps. Okay, and we don't want anyone thrown off their health care plan. All right.
First, I'd just like to point out that Representative Bilirakis is one of the, if not the most accessible politician that I know. I've hit up everyone in the government from the county commission all the way up to state, the national senator, and Gus is always got back to me, always been accessible, and in my opinion serves to be a model of accessibility to his constituency.
We have a great staff. We couldn't do it without the staff.
My name's Andy Warner. I live in Odessa, Florida. I will actually be running for the Florida House of Representatives next year in District 64. I did have a couple of questions for the representative that I kind of picked up while we were talking about the high prices of prescription drugs. You mentioned one of the things to save money would be streamlining the FDA approval process. I just want to ask you, sir, if you think that the money that we would save streamlining that process would outweigh the increased risk to consumers.
We're not going to let that happen. I mean, the FDA process, we're going to make sure that the drug is safe. I think a six-month review is enough time to make sure that the drug is safe and the cost is low, okay? So, again, safety is important, more important than anything. There's no question. But the research, folks, and the development has been done here in the United States. People are getting life-saving treatments overseas because we're not approving these drugs fast enough. And they're not affordable here and accessible. And that's what we have to solve, okay? But safety, obviously, is paramount.
That's a fair answer to the question, sir. And then furthermore, I'd just like to follow that up with, do you feel like with all these measures that we're taking and with our government to adjust to manipulate these high prices for prescription drugs, do you feel like the free market with relation to prescription drugs has failed us?
I think we can do better. We need to get more drugs on the market. The sooner the better, so we create more competition, the prices go down. And that's our goal. So thank you. Thank you very much for the question.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, sir. Thank you very much for being here. My name's Amanda Miller. I'm an Army veteran. I was born and raised in Clearwater. Thank you. My husband's active duty at MacDill. We've lived all over the world, so we move every 1 to 2 years. So we have 4 children. They move houses, schools, and doctors every one to two years. But we're lucky to be back in my home right now. So, but I wanted to bring this up. So when you live 30 miles outside of base, then you go to a civilian doctor. So my husband's stationed at MacDill, and we live in Clearwater, so we go to civilian doctors. Well, in the last few years, I can't find anyone to accept us as patients. The doctors won't accept us because TRICARE pays doctors even less than Medicare and Medicaid. So this is our treatment of our active duty soldiers. So I guess I just wanted to bring that up. And then I also, okay. And then there was just one more thing that I wanted to bring up with veterans or active duty soldiers is why active soldiers and their families, why are we held, why do we have to be held into a local in-network provider? Like, I have a California phone number. We have Oregon license plates. We're moving to Hawaii in June. We are all over the place all the time. And we're locked into local network providers, which makes it very hard. Yeah. So I wish that the system would allow, with the pace that we go, we need to be able to use our ID card to go to whatever doctor we need to go to. And that would be the modernization of TRICARE. Because right now it's archaic. So
very much for sharing.
Anyway,
your thoughts.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for those suggestions. I appreciate it. We'll get on it. Definitely. Thank you.
My name's Catherine Miller, and I'm an 11-year-old. I'm also the proud daughter, granddaughter, niece, and friend of many veterans. My mom is an Army veteran, she just spoke, and my dad is active duty military, currently stationed at MacDill Air Force Base. As an Army brat, I have been privileged to know soldiers that have made history. One of them is Scotty Smiley, the U.S. Army's first blind active duty officer and company commander. He lost his vision in exchange for our freedom. As he continued his Army career, Scotty taught leadership with my dad at the United States Military Academy in 2009 to 2011. Prior to this, Scotty went to Duke. He was blind then as well. His wife, Tiffany, quit her job as a nurse after he was blinded by a suicide car bomb. She then became his caregiver. He was sent to the VA Blind Rehab in California. They gave him cassette tapes and taught him woodshop and belt braiding, as opposed to teaching him how to use current technology, which is not the treatment our veterans deserve. They spent their own money on many things to help his condition. They were also told to hire a lawyer in order to navigate the benefits of the VA system. Fortunately, they have been successful, and they want to help fellow veterans navigate the system. Scotty and Tiffany are the authors of a book called Hope Unseen that shares their story. From this couple, we can understand that freedom most certainly is not free. As Jeff Miller once said, the willingness of America's veterans to sacrifice for our country has earned them our lasting gratitude. Thank you for letting me share the Smiley family story. I hope our president will hire them to make the VA great again. Have a great evening.
Thank you for your family service, and thank you for your sacrifice, too, because the family sacrifice as well.
Good evening. Gus, thank you for holding this town meeting. I wish I could go to more of them, but I don't want to drive to the west side of Pasco. I'm an Army veteran, and I'm also a U.S. citizen now, but I was born and raised in Canada. So I know full well about the Canadian medical system. And if I had my choice, I'll come here anytime. You never read stories in the news about Canadians, or you read stories about Canadians coming here for medical care. You don't hear about us going there for medical care. Okay. Now, granted, drugs are cheaper. That's one good thing about them. But it is rationed care. You wait. And you wait. And Medicare is not too unlike that. Medicare is a little bit more like Canadian health care. So is the VA.
Please be respectful of the speaker.
And so is the VA. I have experience with both of them. So like I said, I would take health care here anytime. It's not perfect. There are a lot of things that we need to do. But what I don't want to see is the federal government running health care like it is today. I spent 25 years in the healthcare field, started when I was in the military, in the critical care setting. Okay. In mid 1980s is when the federal government started to stick its nose in healthcare, and it's been declining ever since. It was much better. I have a personal experience in it, so. It was much better in the 70s with access and quality and so forth, and it is not the same today. It would be much better if the federal government did not get itself involved in healthcare, send it back to the states. It's all right. Put it back to the states where I think it belongs and where the relationship belongs between the patient and the doctor. Not with a government bureaucrat mixed in the middle. And one word of caution. I don't like the insurance companies either. So don't trust them. The federal government has a role. It can be a watchdog. It doesn't have to control it. But just don't trust the healthcare insurance companies.
Stephen Pernick, I live in Tarpon Springs, Florida. I'm a lifelong Republican and a business owner. And thanks for being here. So, you know, there's been a lot of great comments about healthcare, and I'm really excited to hear this, you know, debate going on, which I think we really need, and it's long overdue. One thing that I think is really important as a business owner, what I saw is that when I invest in my employees, they did better for my company. And I think right now we have this mindset, you know, our politics are very partisan. And we have this mindset that we have the government is sort of out there, it's not us, it's this other entity and we need to sort of attack it. And it's sort of this, maybe it's an American thing, everything is a fight, right? And I think we need to get beyond that. And we need to think about the fact that we are the government, right? I mean, you know, that's right, they represent us. Well, they're supposed to. You're right, but they're supposed to. And so where I'm going with this is that if we can get past the partisan politics and start thinking about pragmatic solutions that are not strictly by party line, right? There's a lot of pressure right now on Republicans to rubber stamp whatever Paul Ryan or Trump wants. And I think we need to get a little more courageous about that and challenge ourselves to really do what's right. So what I would like to propose is that healthcare be looked at more like a utility, right? You know, you think about the electric company, right? Of course you do, but my point is that it's controlled, costs are controlled, and we see it as something that is going to help us be successful, right? The government can't do that many things to really make a difference in the lives of the people without changing the culture. Healthcare is one of them. Healthcare is one way that they can actually strengthen the American people. If we're healthy, we're working, we're paying taxes. Okay, all right. The second thing I want to say very quickly is, I think we need to stand up against tyranny. You know, many of us voted for Donald Trump because we wanted him to tear apart the establishment, and unfortunately, that really hasn't happened. And to drain the swamp. The drained swamp, but the swamp has not been drained. And so, Gus, my question to you is, are you, excuse me.
Please be respectful.
Please. I appreciate that, Rosie, Lisa. whoever you are. Would you, Gus, be willing to demand, either by law or by pressure, Donald Trump to release his tax returns so that we can know what his connection is with Russia? And wait a second. Okay? Because I can tell you this, if we can be honest for a minute, as a lifelong Republican, if Hillary Clinton had been defending Putin and not revealing her tax returns, there would be blood in the street. Blood in the street.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, so let's please be respectful of the speaker. Let's please, sir, it's your turn. 2 minutes. You've got it.
Quick clarification from earlier, we are not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic. That's right. In a republic, we have a nation of laws. I followed the laws, and I expect other people to follow the laws. And it's time to restore law and order in this country. And I give my thanks to our police department and ICE. I am here to encourage you on three quick topics. First, in the Constitution, I do not see any mention of health care in the Constitution. Okay. Federal government is not to be involved. Okay. Secondly, the checks and balances between the three branches of government include the authority of Congress to impeach judges, including to impeach judges. Our judges, including the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, need to be impeached for their political activism.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be respectful of the speaker.
And thirdly, in response to a House resolution bill you voted on, which is 2028, which is the continuing appropriations bill, I'd like to make this comment about that, that with this continuing appropriations bill, Congress is failing to address its fiscally and constitutionally irresponsible budgeting and appropriating process that is currently yielding annual federal deficits measured in hundreds of billions of dollars that contribute directly to the dramatic growth of our $20 trillion national debt. Besides Hillary Clinton selling 20% of our uranium to Russia, everyone here
Please
is complaining
the
about
speaker.
The cost of prices going up. This is, in a big part, a curse of what the Federal Reserve is doing by printing money. They are debasing our currency, and it's driving up costs. I have to encourage you to end the Fed and put our currency back on a sound fiduciary system. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are well over our time for this room. The woman who is waiting by the door to lock us up, so I ask that you please leave quickly. Congressman, if you have a few, well, maybe not.
I wanted to ask you a couple questions.
Did you have a few? Yeah, we are done.
Oh, we're done? I can ask you a couple okay. questions, right?
Folks, did everybody get an opportunity to speak?
No.
All right, let's take...
I'm a healthcare professional.
Okay, all right. They're shutting us down here, and I would be happy to stay longer, but I guess we don't have much of a choice because it's over the time. Thank you very much. God bless you, and this was great. I really enjoyed it very much. Thanks for being respectful, and again, you know, I'll take your ideas to D.C. with me. Thank you. God bless.
John Russell here.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish you would have shown up for the debates, but right here, right now, what is your opinion? Your opinion, not dogma or Republican Party crap. What's your opinion? What's the